So that's fine, Bob. Thanks for your contribution. So here's a guy that I don't know much about yet, but I'm going to get to know him a little bit more. He is a finger picker, and I'm told a great one to listen to, and we'll get to know him together as we go through the hour. So let me please introduce you to Monty Kane.
Hi. I'm here actually as the acting as the musical representative of Professor Gum. You can find out more about Professor Gum at professorgum.com, his website. Many people are not familiar with his many accomplishments because he prefers to live out of the public eye. But I'm going to start with a song called Professor Gum's Bug Juice Tonic. And so I will begin by saying about him that he is one of the great minds of our time. He's a scientist and inventor, and his Bug Juice Tonic is it's a drink. It's a delicious, all-natural beverage that is made entirely from bugs. There's a song about it.
Oh, bug juice is what you need. Bug juice is guaranteed to help you to succeed. Yes, bug juice has many uses. Cures every known disease with a natural taste that's sure to please. Ask for it freshly squeezed. Bug juice. Bug juice. Yes, bug juice. Ah, bug juice will never fail you. It's sure to cure what ails you. Now with 10% more snail goo, bug juice has many uses. Keeps your eyesight 20/20, improves you physically and mentally. Our motto is we squish 'em gently. Bug juice. Bug juice. Yes, bug juice. It's available in bottles, it's available in kegs. And when you drink it, you should drink it to the dregs. It provides you with immunity to pimples, flu, and plagues. Just one glass supplies your daily dose of legs. Bug juice has been perfected. Those who doubt it must stand corrected. They'll wonder why the heck did I not take this as directed. Cleans and deodorizes. It's a steal no matter what the price is. And mostly made of flies is bug juice. Bug juice. Yes, bug juice. Ah, bug juice is what you need. Bug juice is guaranteed to help you to succeed. Yes, bug juice has many uses. Cures every known disease with a natural taste that's sure to please. Ask for it freshly squeezed. Bug juice. Bug juice. Yes, bug juice.
Mm-mm. It's a... will work with fish or chicken or...
yes, it's available now wherever fine imaginary products are sold.
Seitan, you know, you can have it with just about anything. So, Monty, we haven't met, which surprises... Well, it doesn't surprise me, but have you been in Pittsburgh long?
I am a Pittsburgh native. I lived in San Francisco during the 1990s. And it shouldn't surprise you, though, not to have met me because I have not played music live in almost 15 years, I think.
Really? Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh.
What neighborhood?
I grew up in Greenfield.
Okay. And what brought you out to the West?
Well, when I was a teenager, my mom just pulled up stakes and went to San Francisco, and I went with her, ended up going to school there.
That had to be something. That's a big change at that age, too.
It was a big change. One of the reasons I haven't played music live in such a long time is that I left a number of musical partnerships there. I had a dear friend who was a busker in San Francisco, was a street performer, and I used to sing with him, played in another friend's band for a number of years. But we moved back here when my daughter was born, slightly more than 10 years ago now.
A little easier, probably a little more reasonable, and a lot of a lot of ways to raise somebody. How old is she?
She has just somewhat terrifyingly become a teenager.
Oh my goodness!
Yes,
that's why she's not here this morning. She's still sleeping.
No, she's listening at home, or at least that's the story.
What's her name?
Abby.
Hi, Abby, and we're glad you're tuned in. When did you start to play the guitar?
I started playing the guitar when I was about 15 years old.
How'd you learn?
I just picked it up. Yeah. I guess I sort of regarded it as a puzzle or a challenge or a discipline in its own right without regarding it as a social activity, which is sort of why I've played with friends. I've played music live with friends. But this is really the first time I've presented my own material.
Well, I'm honored. You play really well.
Well, thank you. It's really just since my daughter was born, I think, that I've kind of found a voice as a songwriter. So I've been kind of incubating a stack of songs for the last 10 years or so.
And, that's
in keeping
something.
With a vow made to self, I am coming out of the closet as a musician this year.
See, there's all these things now. You can, you state these vows on Facebook or for years I learned, the radio was a great thing. It's like, I'm going to lose weight. You know, I'll let you know every week how I'm doing. And it gets.
And then you have to.
Yeah, then you have to. And making a vow to do that is a great vow to make. There's some other things I'm curious about, but why don't we listen to another song or two? What would you like to do next?
Well,
I guess it's Professor Gum that. Well, that was. He doesn't appear, does he? He just occasionally is channeled almost.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like.
Exactly. He appears to me in dreams, and he delivers his songs to me. So I have a few Professor Gum songs. I have a bunch of songs that are just, general.
You know, I think about Professor Gum, and I immediately think of Professor Longhair, and I then immediately think of getting gum in long hair, which would
not be
good at all.
That happened to me once in childhood. I remember that. The peanut butter method was tried.
Yes.
The peanut butter method failed me.
No, it's
peanut
either
butter method did
you,
not
you
work.
Freeze. It's hard to freeze hair, but you could freeze clothing. Actually, you could freeze hair if you cut it and then put it in the freezer, but then
right.
It's kind of pointless to get the gum out of it.
Yeah. Well, the scissors method was the next method that was tried after the peanut butter method, unfortunately. But it was not substantially worse than a lot of haircuts I received as a child, so it was all right.
What's next?
Okay. This is, I think I'm going to try something called Toy With Me.
I can't call you on my toy phone. I think I'm probably gonna end up all alone. I'd like to say the magic words to melt your heart of stone, but I can't call you on my toy phone. I can't reach you in my toy car. I'd pedal anywhere, no place would be too far. But that's no good if you won't tell me where you are. And I can't reach you in my toy car. Darling, please don't toy with me. I know our love can never be. 'Cause you're 4 and I'm still 3. But baby, please don't toy with me. I can't hear your heart in my toy stethoscope. I've got a ladder and I thought we might elope. I wish I knew if there was really any hope. But I can't hear your heart in my toy stethoscope. And I can't call you on my toy phone. I think I'm probably gonna end up all alone. I'd like to say the magic words to melt your heart of stone. But I can't call you on my toy phone.
Monty Kane at the Saturday Light Brigade. You have a good voice, too.
Why, thank you.
Did you sing growing up? Or?
I am told that in my backyard, where I had a swing set when I was very small, I used to give performances of Puff the Magic Dragon, which many of my neighbors reportedly enjoyed. But they may have just been saying that to be nice. I'm not
interesting.
Sure.
Do you know?
I'm also told I used to sing on the bus when I was a small child. I used to sing loudly and completely without self-consciousness while riding public transportation.
Well, that's good.
It's a skill I have not retained.
There are others that do that too. That.
Well, once again, I'm told it was charming when I did it. I can only go on what I'm told.
Is your music available on CD yet?
Or? It is not available on CD. I have a couple of songs available on the internet.
Good.
I have, as part of my vow made to self that I mentioned, I have been doing some home recording in the last year or so. And so I am gradually releasing stuff at ProfessorGum.com. It's all happening under the banner of Professor Gum. But there are two songs there now and more on the way. I hope to release a collection of maybe 12 or 14 songs next year.
Oh, that's great. You know, Peter Yarrow is coming to town in January, author of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, goodness.
And we actually just confirmed this week he's going to be here live, sitting right where you are. And I haven't quite figured out how to process that yet. But he's going to be in Pittsburgh. I think it's January 19th for a concert for Calliope, the Pittsburgh Folk Music Society, with a group called Mustard's Retreat. And it's very cool that he is going to be able to stop by.
That's so great.
Let's get to some more music. It's 27 after 11. I want to be sure we get as much in as we can here. What would you like to do next?
Well, let me see. This is, I think I'm going to do a song called Third Bird. This is a song about the expression to kill two birds with one stone, which, of course, is just means to accomplish something with half the effort that you expected and does not actually have anything to do with birds. But it always seemed unnecessarily violent and insensitive to birds to me. So this is a song about how you might get karmically into hot water if you were to actually kill two birds with one stone.
Before you kill two birds with one stone, just think of the third bird who'll be left all alone. Do you regret reducing their ranks to so few? Or do you wish that you had picked off that third bird too? Ah, but when you're the late you, at the gates what awaits you? Not the welcome you're wishing, but a three-bird petition. And now it is fated for your final reward. You'll be reincarnated as the third bird. So before you kill two birds with one stone, just think of the third bird who'll be left all alone. Do you regret reducing their ranks to so few? Be glad that you didn't pick off that third bird too. Be glad that you didn't pick off that third bird that's you, you.
Nice song. That's Monty Kane here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I remember years ago, a caller on the air actually said kill two birds with one stone, causing another caller off the air to challenge us to try to eliminate that expression from future broadcasts. And I respect the thought, although we can't rewrite idioms. I can't control what idioms other people use. But, you know, all these things, you know, who ate a horse? You know, who was the first person to be so hungry you could eat a horse? And I don't know why we always save 9 stitches instead of 8. You can go on and on about that. But that's a good, very nice song. It is kind of gross when you think about it. You know, and what I would think, frankly, 2 birds in the bush are better than a bird in the hand for a lot, not just the hygienic reasons, but just for the birds.
And is it possible to kill 2 birds in the bush with 1 stone? It gets very confusing at that point.
Well, if ignorance is bliss and knowledge is power, there's a syllogy there. I'm not gonna go into it, or syllogism. It does. I think you eventually come up with lack of power is bliss, which is fine by me. This is Monty Kane. Professor Gum is occasionally popping up into his DNA here and sharing some of the songs that he's inspired. And it's good to have you playing here. Are you playing out much?
I'm not, no. This is sort of my debut. I hope to. In the future,
I think I can see you doing a lot of nice things here at the Children's Museum, for example. When we do music later in the day, the kids are this time of day doing all sorts of other things, and also libraries. I think you do real well, and for all ages too. What would you like to do next, Monty?
Well, I think I'm going to do a song called Stink Bug.
I'll bet this is a Professor Gum song.
This is about the very strict do not hurt the bugs policy, which we observe at my house, which I'm responsible for, I suppose, but I probably would have said the heck with it a long time ago. But it is now very strictly enforced by my daughter. Stink bug, put him out the window. Stink bug, put him out the door. Stink bug, put him out the window. Oh, stink bug won't welcome here anymore. Stink bug, pack his little suitcase. Stink bug, put him on a train. Stink bug, tell him you'll be waiting. Oh, stink bug, when will I see you again?
That's Monty Kane at the Saturday Light Brigade, spelled with a K, incidentally, if you want to find him, K-A-N-E, although ProfessorGum.com is the website.
That's just one of the big advantages of Professor Gum. There's really only one way to spell professor and one way to spell gum.
That is a good thing.
You get all sorts of different things. But
Yeah, you do. And stink bug. Now I'm thinking about stink bugs, and they are back.
They appear mysteriously in my attic in the dead of winter sometimes.
Yeah. And they're either totally still or totally kinetic. Mm-hmm. There is no like gear system for a stink bug occasionally we have a no kill the bug policy too, and mm-hmm. I find them difficult to catch. Until they get very still, and then I have to keep the cats from catching them and eating them, because there's a song, you know, there was an old person that swallowed a fly. So you could have a cat swallowing the stink bug and becoming a stink cat and work your way up to a turducken. No, can you tell I haven't had much sleep? Monty Cain, I want to write for Professor Gum. Monty Cain is here. If you go to ProfessorGum.com, there's some downloads of some of the songs he's doing. He's been playing for a long time, although only now just emerging to play out and share his music with others, which is great. And he's got another song to share, another song or two or three or four.
I think I'm going to play something called When You're One. This is a song about the first word that my daughter ever spoke, but the first word that she ever spoke with such enthusiasm when she discovered the power that some words confer.
Would I be like a purple crayon? No, Daddy, no. Would she like a small guitar to play on? No, Daddy, no. Would Abby like to stay outside today? No, Daddy, no. No, Daddy, no. Would Abby like to be a lion? No, Daddy, no. Would she like a plate with a piece of pie on? No, Daddy, no. Would Abby like to stay inside today? No, Daddy, no. No, Daddy, no. When you're one, no is better than yes. Yes, no is the word that you most need to know, I guess. Later in life, when you're 43, you may find you're living more ambivalently. But at one, no is the message you bring. Yes, no is like salt. You can put some on everything. Say the word and you'll be free. Say the word and be like me. Have you heard the word is no? Need to know, I guess. Later in life, when you're 43, you may find you're living more ambivalently. But at one, no is the message you bring. Yes, no is like salt. You can put some on everything. Say the word and you'll be free. Say the word and be like me. Have you heard the word is no?
That's Monty Cain at the Saturday Light Brigade. How does Abby feel about that song?
I'm not sure how she feels about any of them now. I think she's starting to get to the age where I'm kind of embarrassing. You know, I'm not as cool as I used to be, but I think she's still okay with the songs.
That's really a well written song, actually. There's a lot. That song would be enjoyed by kids. By adults without kids, but probably especially by adults that have raised kids. And it's funny, when you introduced it, I was thinking, well, I wonder what word it's going to be. And no, of the 10 words I thought of, no was 9 of them. That might be come before mom or dad. It might be no.
Well, yeah, you need to be able to tell mom and dad what to do. You got to be able to make your wishes clear.
I wonder if, like, 1,000 years from now, it'll be like decline or does not compute. You know, something a little bit crash. I don't know. We'll see how the language is folk processed by kids. Do you typically play by yourself, or?
I do.
And I mean, as a finger picker, you've done. You're playing really well. Who do you like to listen to? Do you have any favorite?
Let's see. Leo Kottke. Hmm. You got to start with Leo Kottke if you're going to listen to finger picking.
Maybe Doc Watson, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, I started. I think Leo Kottke was the first finger picker that I ever heard. His 6 and 12 string guitar record, and I started moving in retrograde after that. That got me going backwards chronologically, and I ended up listening to a lot of guitar players from the 20s and 30s, guys like Robert Johnson and this guy named Lonnie Johnson, who made a lot of early jazz records.
You're one of the few people I know of that has brought up Lonnie Johnson. We've got a few of them back there. Yeah, they're awesome.
They're just spectacular records. And he made a bunch of duets with a guy named Eddie Lang, but he also did some solo recordings that are just stunning.
He also made a number of recordings, and I thought you were going to say this name for a minute, which would have blown my mind, but with a guy named Elmer Snowden, who is a banjo player, more of a jazz banjo player, and they're amazing. They're absolutely, and Lonnie sings too occasionally. Great player.
And his early recordings from the 20s and 30s are especially brilliant, I think. And he was also a violinist.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of a guy named Jeff Healey?
I know the name, but I don't know what he does.
He passed away, sadly, at a pretty early age, but very good finger picker and guitarist. He would play the guitar horizontally on his lap.
Uh-huh.
Also played trumpet. Also sang, also arranged, and just an amazing player. I think you'd like him a lot.
Leo Kottke was a trombonist, I understand, before.
I didn't know that.
Well, I think it was something he studied as a child. I don't think he claims to have gotten any good at it, but that was his first encounter with an instrument.
My Feet Are Smiling album is the one I remember most. I don't know if you remember. I think it was that one, which goes way back. That's like a early 70s album.
I think 6 and 12 String Guitar was his first record, which was put out by John Fahey on his label. And John Fahey's another guy for finger pickers. Leo Kottke, probably can't stand people like me because I listened to his first record and loved it and never listened to any of his
subsequent records. You never evolved. 6 and 12 String Guitar, I think, was first. He did change, and I mean, he wrote some pretty whimsical songs that he sang on some of his later albums, too. Monty Kane is here, if you're just joining us, and I'm thrilled we're getting so much music in, as well as getting a chance to talk. He has written all the songs that you're hearing today, or Professor Gum has brought the words. You can learn more by going to ProfessorGum.com, which is the website that serves them both. And what would you like to do next?
Oh, what to play. I think I'm going to play something called Early Bird Cafe. But there's a bit of a story that you got to know before I play the song. I will try to be brief. When my daughter was very small, she woke up in the middle of the night one night and decided that she was done sleeping for the evening and she was going to get up and have adventures. Lord help us. So she went downstairs and she took it into her head to set the table with what she meant to be a breakfast buffet for my wife and myself. But she was too little to cook anything, so she had to just put out whatever foods were at hand, which turned out to be, I think you would characterize them as non-traditional breakfast foods. For example, there was a plate that just had a big pile of sunflower seeds poured into it, stuff like that. So, you know, when I came downstairs in the morning, I found every light in the house turned on, and my daughter asleep in the living room, and the table set in this rather peculiar fashion. So I put the food away and put the child away, and when she woke up, she was very upset with me that I had not eaten any of the food that she put out for me.
Good that she remembered that she did that, though.
Yes.
She wasn't just, you know, doing this without any recollection.
No. So. No, it was entirely voluntary. But the best part was that in the center of the table, there was a menu which she had drawn Aww. With magic markers. And at the top of the menu, it said, The Early Bird Cafe, which is why this song is called The Early Bird Cafe. She also claims that she had an Early Bird Cafe name tag, which she made by sticking a Post-it note to herself. I just discussed this with her recently. I don't remember the name tag.
I get worried that the Early Bird Cafe would serve worms, and that's all it would serve. But
the pile of sunflower seeds sort of resembled a mound of dirt. I could see a little worm poking its head up out of there.
There's such a lot to do today to keep the shadows swept away and put the specials on display at the Early Bird Cafe. Such a lot to do and see. It's our responsibility to catch the sun's first ray at the Early Bird Cafe. We are the banishers of night. We've got to put on all the lights. We're the ambassadors of life. We've got to put on all the lights. Please eat the food that we gave you. Just one sunflower seed will save you. But it must come from the table of the early bird. There's such a lot to do today. Keep the shadows swept away. It's the most serious form of play at the early bird. At the early bird. At the early bird cafe.
Monty Kane at the Saturday Light Brigade. Your voice fits these songs really well. It's not surprising you wrote them and you're singing them, but there's just a great, I guess, gentleness and an act of whimsy. And I asked you before about guitarists. I'm curious if there are any singers you admire.
Singers.
There's probably – I don't want to put you on the spot
No.
with that. It's interesting as I listen to you. I get the feeling you've invested some time in figuring out how to deliver these songs in the best way. Or maybe
that's,
not.
That's very yeah. kind of you. You know, I'm as with everything else I do, I'm untrained, and I always wonder if I'm if there's a way you're supposed to sing that I'm not singing. But
well, you may be just a natural at it.
I listened mostly to stuff like the Beatles, Jethro Tull, and the Who, Simon and Garfunkel. That was me in high school.
Mm.
And then of course I went to high school in the 80s. So I started out about 20 years backwards from where I was supposed to be. And like I said, I went backwards from there. It's about another 10 or 15 years after that. I'd gone another 50 or 60
but
years.
But you went to high school in San Francisco, though, right?
No, I went to Taylor Alderdice.
Oh, that explains it. That's all the music. You know, Taylor Alderdice has an amazing legacy of musicians that have come from that school.
Really?
Oh, yeah, quite a... and of course, now I have to name them all. But, Ernie Hawkins is one of them. I don't know if you know Ernie, but he's a Pittsburgh blues guitarist, acoustic blues guitarist, who studied at the feet of Reverend Gary Davis.
That's a name that I know.
And is really has a worldwide. Following. It's the prophet in your own town kind of thing sometimes with Ernie.
Yes.
I mean, Ernie, people love him in Pittsburgh too, but he's really an international sensation when it comes to blues guitar. And he is the guy that came from Taylor Alderdice. There are a lot of others too. What would you like to do next?
Well, I think I'm gonna play a song called "Things in the Dark."
Scary.
Well, you might get the impression from this song, and I wouldn't want anyone to get the impression that I was scared of the dark when I was a kid. I was scared of the dark when I was a kid, but I wouldn't want anyone to get that impression. I'm not scared of the dark. It's not the dark that gets you, it's the things in the dark. And whenever it's dark, that's when they leave the den, when there's not even a spark of light in the dark. They're not necessarily going to take your brain and put it in a monster that they're making in a vat. They'd be hurt to think that you suspected them of anything like that. No, I'm not scared of the dark. It's not the dark that gets you, it's the things in the dark. And whenever it's dark, that's when they leave the den. Yeah, that's when they disembark, whenever it's dark. They're not necessarily going to suck your blood until you make a gurgle noise like empty in a straw. Maybe they just want to lend a helping hand or tentacle or claw. Scared of the dark. It's not the dark that gets you, it's the things in the dark. And whenever it's dark, that's when they leave the den. It's like a day in the park for them when it's dark. They're not necessarily going to drop you down a trapdoor, leaving folks to wonder why you disappeared. Maybe they're not up to anything at all unusual or weird. He was not scared of the dark, and it was not the dark that got him, but the things in the dark.
If you, that's Monty Caine, by the way. It occurred to me as I was listening to that song, and I think we can get one more in, that there's a whole bunch of songs you could be writing for Abby at her current age. Have you thought of that yet?
Oh, yes. Yes. That's a different collection.
Yes, she'd be quite amused, I'm sure.
I have a lot of different kinds of stuff actually, and one of the reasons for Professor Gum is that Professor Gum makes it easy to distinguish between the stuff that is represented by sort of a silly cartoon character and is funny and the other stuff that I am planning to release later on that is, aimed more at a general audience. So,
that's good to be able to have that mechanism to do that. I really want to thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I hope you'll come back.
I would love to.
ProfessorGum.com is the website for Monty Caine. What would you like to finish up with?
Well, at the end of everything, after you've had everything else, you got to have dessert. So this is bad nutritional advice from Professor Gum. Excuse me. The song is called Only Dessert.
Lima beans sit in your stomach and grow. Green peas will make your pea green. Did you know? Meatballs make stripes when they roll down your shirt. That's why what I'm having's only dessert. I prefer it, my dessert. That's all I'm having today. I think potatoes are gross when they sprout. Plus they have eyes, which is grossing me out. Plus I heard vegetables all grow in dirt. That's why what I'm having's only dessert. I prefer it, my dessert. That's all I'm having today. Chickens get mad if you steal from the coop. They might come after you all in a group. Then if they pecked you, it might really hurt. That's why what I'm having's only dessert. I prefer it, my dessert. That's all I'm having today. That's all I'll eat, I don't care what you say. I prefer it, my dessert. That's all I'm having today.
Our thanks to Monty Caine. ProfessorLonghair.com is where you go. The Saturday Light Brigade also thanking Barb Powashill, thank you for being with us today from Oliver Miller Homestead. Lauren Bethia from the Kelly Strayhorn Theater. Carrie Kennedy, author of Panorama and Introduction to Classical Mythology. The cast of Jack and the Beanstalk from Gemini Theater. And the Byam Theater's upcoming show, which is Pittsburgh Musical Theater's production of Cinderella. Thanks to them for being with us, too, as well as our 7 Pittsburgh youth media reporters, 7 of the 33 that appeared on the air here this morning. And thanks to you, as always. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio.